Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and picking up from last week, that question that you've all been thinking about, that some of you took the prize for, why doesn't the heart get cancer? Or does it? If anybody's ever heard of heart cancer, let me know. Generally speaking, I haven't seen it. I wouldn't put it past America Today to produce it. However, as it stands right now, the heart doesn't get cancer. It's simple. It's right in front of your face because it never stops moving. The blood in and the blood out. It's moving quick. 24/7. Never takes a rest. That's good and it's bad because it's the first organ to burn out in a sense. But the point is, it doesn't have enough time to build up the concentration of poison to mutate the cell. That's common sense. This is the show of common sense. Best scientists always use their common sense. Shoot from the gut. Get in touch with that intuitive faculty. Let it guide your analytic mind. The analytic mind without the intuitive mind can lead you into a ridiculous perception of reality. Of course, we feed you the Kool-Aid. We tell you the opposite. The heart doesn't get cancer because it perfuses. It moves. Unlike that prostate gland, that thing down there, we don't talk about it. We don't go near it. The only thing we even know it's there is because when it crushes our urethra, we're up all night peeing or we're in renal failure because we can't urinate. Other than that, where that prostate is, that dirty place down there, don't talk about it. Well, what does that mean? Scientifically, it means that that gland does not perfuse. It means that gland does not drain. It means that gland, which has its concentration of fat, binds fat-soluble poisons, and there's lots of poisons to bind. What about the breast? Boy, today, this morning, on my email, 39-year-old woman announcing aggressive breast cancer, telling all her friends. Aggressive breast cancer, that's usually a Herceptin breast cancer, not the estrogen. It's in her nodes. She's only 39. Do you think it had anything to do with the IBS? Do you think it had anything to do with the bad breath? Do you think it had anything to do with other things other than the breast? What do you think? The point is, those breasts did not perfuse, filled with fat. Good farm fat, binding pesticides, petrochemicals, all sorts of mutagens. The breast did not perfuse. Head trauma. We talked about cancer last week. Senator Ed Kennedy. We all remember Ed Kennedy. What did Ed Kennedy get? Brain cancer. Remember Chappaquiddick? Or however you pronounce that. When the car went off the road, went off the bridge into the water. Tragic death associated with that. Not the point. The point is, I'll bet you the late Senator Kennedy took some head trauma. Why brain cancer? Put it together. You understand enough from listening to this show. By the way, if you haven't, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is a health show. Health and nutrition. How health feeds nutrition. How if you don't take care of your health, relatively speaking, you waste your money on nutrition. Lots of people waste their money because they burden the herb. They burden the nutraceutical with the sole obligation of moving the ball. It doesn't work that way. Study the statistics. And this show is about insights into how to enhance the value of the precious herb that you spend your precious dollar purchasing. And there you have it. This thing about movement, perfusion, structure. We try to give you a sense of structural medicine. What does physical medicine mean? What does structural medicine mean? What really were chiropractors and osteopaths and massage therapists and Rolfers and Hella workers and Reiki and emotional release therapists and physical therapists and Pilates instructors and yogics and Tai Chi masters and Kung Fu people and Calisthenics teachers? What is this thing from Jack LaLanne to Kung Fu trying to tell you as it relates to your health? Well, I'll give you a slant. You're wasting your money on nutrition if you don't understand physical medicine. That's one. And that doesn't mean going out and jogging. It doesn't mean weightlifting. See, this is the thing. We had to get you to that other level about understanding structural medicine. The type of low-cost, high-yield returns that you can get on addressing your body's physical momentum, its physicality, its structure, are not about lifting weights and jogging around the track. They may constitute a percentage of it, but it's relatively speaking a small percentage of it. And why is that important? Because if the organs move, if the bones of the skull move, if they move in symmetry, if the pelvis moves, if the sacrum moves, if, as we're going to talk about today, the urogenital diaphragm moves, if the diaphragm we associate with breath moves, if the cerebral diaphragm moves, I'm using terms that are about the show today, but you don't talk about your cerebral diaphragm. Definitely you don't talk about your urogenital diaphragm. These have evaded us. We have avoided those concepts. And certainly if those diaphragms, as we're going to talk about today, if they move, you move. Your electromagnetic field generates. And this is where you get the return on your health. And we see it like a big red flashing light for us to ponder. We see it with the heart. What about testicular cancer? Why is testicular cancer, relatively speaking, seen so much less than ovarian or uterine? Why do we just have to go a couple of inches in from the testicle to the prostate and find that the prostate is the number one cancer among men? Where's testicular cancer? Way down on the bottom. Why isn't testicular cancer up there with ovarian cancer? Men palpate the testicles. That's what they do. Ladies, if your ovaries were hanging out, you'd be palpating your ovaries. No doubt about it. The breast is excluded from circulation as a woman ages. The shoulders internally rotate, the head comes forward, and you collapse your lymphatic system. So you perfuse, meaning the blood in the arterial system under high pressure sends the poisons into the fat of the breast, and yet the drainage out through the venous system and the lymph, which are low pressure symptoms. You got to remember now, pearl here. When we talk about drainage, we're talking about low pressure systems. They don't pump unless you pump them. The heart pumps the blood through the artery. The artery is elastic. There is a pound per square inch pressure behind perfusion, behind arterial flow, right up to the capillary hitting the cell. But drainage, it's a different story. Veins don't really have muscular walls. The lymph are just tissue paper. They are low yield, low force systems. Those systems are up to you to pump. The pumping mechanisms for drainage out of the organs are different. Unless, of course, you're the heart and you have that blood just gushing in, and then you have that blood just gushing out. And the whole organ is one big contractile muscle. If the breast were a contractile muscle, there'd be no breast cancer. Just sit on that one. If the prostate gland were a contractile muscle, there would be no prostate cancer. It's too simple, I know. We need at least another $100 billion behind research into these diseases. They're so complicated. If you study the history of science, your innovations are based on so often the obvious, that which is staring you in the face. That which you is staring you in the face, right? In retrospect, oh, it was right in front of me. How couldn't I have seen that? It would have made all the difference. This is how science makes the same mistakes. The rhetoric in the mind, the chatter in the mind eludes scientific discovery. You have to get calm to see what's staring you in the face. And there you have it, our concern with cancer. It is so structurally controlled. And we can see it. The three diaphragms, the urogenital, the one down low in the perineum, the diaphragm in the mid-body. I've put pictures on it. Get on the website. Please get on the website. We can do so much more. If you're driving in the car, I'll work with you. Don't get on the website if you're driving in the car. Pull the car over. But if you're at home, get on the website. Certainly those of you who get the archives, and you should all get the archives, you study this with the website. The urogenital diaphragm, the middle diaphragm. The diaphragm is a dome. It's a cross-sectional sheath of muscle, like a piece of paper. Take a piece of paper and put it right in the center of your brain. That piece of paper is the cerebral diaphragm. Take a piece of paper and put it right through your midsection. That's your breath diaphragm. Take a piece of paper and understand that that piece of paper, or a little thicker, is what the perineal muscles are, the perineal diaphragm. Those three levels, the lower, the middle, and the upper, consistent with the lower, middle, and upper jaw in Eastern medicine, or the heaters, the lower, middle, and upper heaters. Collectively, those three levels of the body are supposed to be toned. Yeah, you're supposed to hang out with your friends, go to the gym, and pump up your urogenital diaphragm. You're supposed to exercise it. Instead of lifting those weights and bench pressings to get those breast muscles sticking out there, you're supposed to exercise the urogenital diaphragm, the perineal muscles, up to the mid-diaphragm, and then to the cerebral diaphragm. Those three diaphragms are physical tissues. You're going to see them today on the website. They're physical tissues. They're thin. They're not like your biceps muscle. They're not like the Popeye muscle of the forearm. They're not like your buttocks, and they're not like your breast muscle. But they are thin sheaths of muscle that have tone. Tone. When your skin sags, you have lost your tone. When things drop, they've lost their tone. When the uterus prolapses, when the anus prolapses, when things don't stand high anymore, they drop, you've lost your tone. Those diaphragms, urogenital, the mid-diaphragm, and the cerebrals, they can lose their tone also. And when they lose their tone, that's very costly to you. Lots of problems are linked. In fact, most fundamentally, your health is driven by the tone of the three diaphragms. So get that in there. Three musketeers, three diaphragms drive the electromagnetic field, which circulates up and down the body, the Ren and the Du meridians, the conception and governing vessels circulating around to deliver the electromagnetic field to the body. Now, what does that mean to you, the consumer, who wants to know which herb you should take for your energy? Here's the hookup. That very fundamental system is driving the chemical intelligence of your cell. if you don't address it, the high chemical intelligence of rhodiola, of cordyceps, of reishi, of propolis, of bee pollen, of royal jelly, of ginseng, of deer antler, of astragalus, all these wonderful herbs that companies harvest and put to product, and that you spend your money on, these wonderful herbs are smarter than you are. They're smarter than we are. They're smarter than Western man, because they evolved centuries ago in ecosystems that were supreme. Yeah. So be glad you've got companies like Premier Research Labs. Be glad you've got people like Dr. Marshall delivering these things, harvesting these things. But the point is, they're smarter than you are. They're going into an ecosystem that's not the ecosystem the herb evolved out of. There's a concept you want to take into yourself. Those herbs have evolved. Their genetics have evolved in different climates. The herbs that are brought in from pristine ecosystems have grown in pristine ecosystems. And then we put them into our naive bodies, our naive congested tissues, our structurally deranged tissues, our bodies that are electromagnetically cut off from the cell, bodies where the cell is not being infused by the adequate magnetism to be driven off what? The three pumps, the urogenital pump, the middle diaphragmatic pump, and the cerebral pump. What pumps are we talking about? Get to the website, the perineal muscles. So we can be anatomists now, boring, and we can say we're talking about the corrugator cutis ani muscle. We can say we're talking about the pubiococcygeus, the ischiocavernous, the transversus perineal profundus, the transversus perineal superficialis. I mean, the muscles of the crotch, the perineum, down there where women tear. When a head comes out of a vaginal canal, that head may tear the female canal all the way towards the anus. There's not a lot of yardage there between the base of the vaginal canal and the anus, but just that little bit of area there, that is the guts of your urogenital diaphragm, of your perineal muscles, those muscles I just mentioned. See the show on scars down there and what to do about it. Not the point. The point is that area of the diaphragm, that urogenital area there, once that's torn, or if it loses its tone. Now, how does it lose its tone if it's not torn? So we're not talking about people who necessarily have episiotomies. We're talking about men who are 60 years old. You have to understand that a lot of these muscles that I just mentioned, they're all in relationship. They're connected to the sacrum and the coccyx. There's a connection between those perineal muscles and those bones. And those bones are supposed to move like the breakdancer, like the ballerina. The articulation, the joint space between L5, S1, in other words, your fifth lumbar vertebra, your low back, your sacrum, and your coccyx. You fell on your coccyx. Those three levels there, they've got to be capable of sway. They must be flexible. They must not be stunted into one straight line or stunted into a hyperlordotic, so a deep curve or a straight line. A static fixed pelvis is not what allows those perineal muscles to contract correctly. Watch someone walk down the street. Watch them tipping over the age of 60. Watch them as if they need a cane to walk. Watch them run or break into a sprint and fall flat on their face. Understand that their fifth lumbar vertebra, their sacrum, is just about fused to itself. And understand that in that fixed position, if you attempt to contract those muscles, no, we're not talking about the Kegel exercises. The Kegel exercises are a joke. They're a joke because they have no recognition of what really allows a contraction to the perineum. But they're better than nothing. If you squeeze the anus, if you squeeze the penile muscles, if you squeeze the vaginal canal, if you hold your urine in as you squeeze the muscular sphincters of the bladder to hold your urine, if you squeeze these muscles, the strength of that squeeze is off the back of those perineal muscles. A lot of male erection is tied into the strength of those perineal muscles. So understand that these muscles have got to contract in collusion, in connection to a flexible sacrum. When L5, the sacrum, and the coccyx fuse, there's no way you're going to get a strong contraction of the perineum. The perineum naturally loses its tone as the low back fuses. Big concept. But what does that mean in terms of your prostate gland, gentlemen? Well, where is your prostate gland? I've got a couple of very telling pictures there of doctors, et cetera, doing digital rectal exams on the prostate. Everyone should know where that prostate gland is. Real important, because when that prostate doesn't function right, you lose sexual function. When that prostate isn't toned correctly, it begins to hypertrophy. You can develop a chronic prostatitis. Most of all, as that prostate loses its tone. If it's not cancer, you're just up urinating twice a night. That urination thing, it sneaks up on you. When you don't sleep, you don't make your adrenaline. You don't make your adrenaline. You don't hold your magnesium. And lots of problems occur all the way to the heart. You don't make your hormones. The whole fundamental physiology of the body goes off. Talk about hormonal imbalance. Single most important thing you can do for your health is get your sleep. You can't when you're up twice a night to urinate. Men and women over 60 understand that. They may not understand it as the driver on their health, but you've heard that already. And you've done all those herbs for the prostate. And you've done all those wonderful herbs to help tone your bladder so you don't urinate at night. And they don't work because the problem is elsewhere. It's in the inability of these muscles in the perineal area to get a full contraction. You can't get it because the sacrum is fixed. So these muscles lose tone. So the sphincters lose tone, the sphincters. And that means you're off running to the bathroom to urinate because you can't hold your urine. We see this more with the episiotomy, of course. We see this more with the caesarean, of course. Because whether it's episiotomy or caesarean, the pelvic floor begins to lose its tone. It begins to drop. There's something bigger than that, though. Something much bigger than that. That area is the area that you are mandated to tone, to retain the upward spiral of energy to the brain. That area, you're mandated, if you're interested in your health, to maintain your tone so that you can propel the upward spiral of muscular energy. Can you contract the anal sphincter? Can you contract the vaginal and genital muscles? Can you contract those areas and feel a pulse of something in your head? That's a very real thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's understandable, but you should know what I'm talking about. Because if in fact you don't, it means that the strength of those perineal muscles has been marginalized for any variety of reasons. Ladies, you understand. Because after childbirth, after that cesarean, after that tear down low, the episiotomy, You'll often say you feel like you lost connection down there. The lost connection down there. Gentlemen, you may relate. The lost connection down there means you're leaking energy out the bottom. You've got a hole in the ship. You're sinking. You're dropping. You're prolapsing. And out the bottom goes your brain. Now, there's a concept. Out the bottom goes your brain. Out the bottom goes the electromagnetic field that's supposed to fill the brain with life. That's not profound enough, is it? It's too unscientific. If you think that's too unscientific, then I'm going to ask you to take a look at picture number 25. Picture number 25 is a sagittal cut on the brain, where if you follow the arrows, you can follow the flow of the cerebrospinal fluid. The cerebrospinal fluid. The brain sits in the skull, and between the brain and the skull is water, cerebrospinal fluid. The only reason that water doesn't leak out of your brain through your ears and through your eyes and through your nose is the brain is covered with a sac, a sheath, called the dural tissue, the meninges. I've labored endlessly, joyously, but I keep hitting you with this thing about the dural tissue, the dural tissue, the dural tissue. Well, the dural tissue contains that cerebral spinal fluid, which if you look at picture 25 on the site, is moving around. It's circulating through all the cells of your brain, down your spinal cord, and back up. What do you think is affecting its flow? Western man, in a sense, modern science is stupid enough to understand cerebral spinal fluid as a sterile tissue that allows the brain to flow. And when we have infection in it, it's a great marker for the infection's going to get to your brain or your meninges. So we do spinal taps, and then we study the contents of the cerebral spinal fluid, and if we find white blood cells in it or viruses or parasites or whatever we might find in it, if we take the time to look, then we know that the brain's being exposed to such and such and such, and that's it. It goes much, 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 much deeper. Look at that picture. Look at that system. If you can't see God in that, if you can't see the abundance of the Garden of Eden in that, I don't know what to say. Don't listen to this show. We're talking different. We're in different galaxies. But if you can connect to the magnificence of that, then understand that the flow of that fluid is integrally related to the tone in your urogenital diaphragm, which is integrally related to the flexibility of L5 to the sacrum to the coccyx. Wow. That's big. 25 years of doing this, that still fascinates me. I never get tired of thinking about that. That is singularly the most dynamic concept in medicine. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website so you can better understand what I'm talking about. If this is your first time on the show, put your seatbelt on. Picture number 32. Go to picture number 32 and look at the pineal gland. It's smack in the middle of your face. The pineal gland is sitting between those four little, they look like marbles or breasts even. The colliculuses. Superior and inferior colliculus. The brain has super neat names. That pineal gland sitting right in there in between those two colliculuses. Here's the thing. Above the pineal gland, it says the third ventricle. Now, we're not talking about the ventricle of the heart. Heart's only got two ventricles. This is the third ventricle of the brain. The third ventricle of the brain. So you could shift, if you wanted to, you could shift to picture 24. Picture 32, picture 24. Picture 24, down in the lower left corner, you're going to see the words, third ventricle. Follow those words to the picture of the third ventricle on that page. This is page 24. if you're just listening in the car, understand there's a pumping system in the brain that moves this fluid down the spine and up the spine. And that pumping system is very connected to the upward flow of energy from the sacrum and the urogenital diaphragm. So what goes down must come up. It's embellished in the upward flow, this flow of fluid, this flow of energy. But let's just stick to the fluid. This pumping in the crotch, the pumping in the perineum, the pumping in the urogenital diaphragm down low, upwards, helps embellish, enhance, intensify the pumping up in the ventricle of the brain that you're looking at. As that intensifies, the third ventricle of the brain starts to wobble the pineal gland. It wobbles the pineal gland. Now, just take a minute there and look at picture 32. If you're driving in the car, okay, there's this little place in the brain that's real close to your hypothalamus and your pituitary. We don't even know what it does. The Germans, as always, have done some of the best research on this. Certainly the Americans haven't. The Germans have done wonderful research with this. And there are grains, granules. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Those granules, if the pineal wobbles enough, those granules begin to break. They break out of their crystalline sacs. Little ditty here, the pineal gland has a special affinity for fluorine. And when fluorine fills the pineal, it doesn't do it well. Who puts fluoride in the water? Just a little ditty for you. In any event, that pineal vibrating, enhanced by the vibration of the ventricles of the brain, enhanced by the vibration and the toning of the urogenital diaphragm, all the way up, that pineal gland has something to do with the most fundamental indices, drivers, aspects, the most fundamental foundational aspects of what we call aging, resistance to disease. You name it, it's there. Get your hypothalamic pituitary pineal axis. Get it aligned. Get that system in order, and you're going to go a long way. I don't care what you do, what you eat, who you hang out with, where you live, what you think. It doesn't matter. You're a bionic beast, and you can't be stopped. Thick neck, big jaw, good teeth. Symmetrical alignment. There's a reason we buy horses that look like that. There's a reason our athletes look like that. Wow. Does that get to you? It gets to me. It really gets to me. Now, here's a problem. Smack in the middle of this relationship between the urogenital diaphragm and the brain, the cerebral diaphragm, smack in the middle of it is this thing that we call the diaphragm. That, in the vernacular, common man's language, is the diaphragm. Some great pictures of the diaphragm. It's a dome. So take half a basketball, cut a basketball in half, turn it with its open side down, and then put that thing cross-sectionally right through the chest area. Just put it right through. So you have a dome-shaped basketball dividing you up and down. You have a dome-shaped basketball. On top of it's your heart and lungs, and below it are your guts. That's the diaphragm. If you're on the website, picture number 13 is a great – picture number 18 is a great picture of the diaphragm. Picture number 14 is a great picture of the diaphragm. These pictures are so good. Picture number 13 is a great picture of the diaphragm. Just insert a dome at about the section of the lower part of the rib cage, with the open part of the dome, the downside, the underside of the dome. Above that dome is your heart and your lungs. When you take a breath in, that diaphragm goes down. It's another diaphragm. It's going to move stuff. Now, when we talk about the tone of the diaphragm, understand that dome, the center of that dome, the center of that dome. So if you took an apple and you cut an apple in half, if you took a big fat apple and you cut the apple in half and you just hung that apple in your two fingers by its stem, right where the stem is the center of the diaphragm. If you're on the website, get to look at number 16. If you're just in the car, you're holding your apple with two fingers, the stem, and around the stem, a small circle around that stem is not made of muscle. It's made of fascia. Stringy, adhesive, flexible, elastic-like fascia. That fascia is so fascia-like, they call it the central tendon of the diaphragm. The center of the diaphragm is called the central tendon of the diaphragm. If you're looking at picture 16, that white area in the center of the diaphragm is called the central tendon. It's a flat, fibrous, super elastic, super adhesive piece of connective tissue that's in the center of your dome. Well, guess what? It has a tone. It has a tone. And when you take a breath in, that diaphragm goes down. And when you exhale, that diaphragm comes up, goes down and up. The tone in that diaphragm, the ability of that diaphragm to go down as you inhale, is directly related to the tension in its center. But the tension in the center of the diaphragm is related to the organ called the liver. The liver has an emotion associated with it. So if we were going to go in there and we were going to look at Mr. Liver, just under the diaphragm on the right side, every time you had frustration, every time you expressed anger, every time you internalized anger, that liver will constrict, it will freeze, and it will freeze the diaphragm. And the central tendon of the diaphragm will constrict. What study can I cite? It's called the study of life. It's called working with people. I could say all of Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine point out that the liver is the diaphragm and that the liver holds anger. The liver holds frustration. The gallbladder, which is connected to the liver, is called the master of decision or indecision if you frustrate about your decision-making processes. But I won't cite Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine because they're not American. What is it to be American? What is it to be Western? I had hoped what it was to be Western or American is to integrate systems that work and then put that great American spin on it as backed by our Constitution to shoot your mouth off and give your opinion without being prosecuted and that everyone could do that. Well, let's just define America like I just did. And on that basis, you should include Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine because they are time-honored systems that will talk about this. But so will Rolfing. So will Heller work. So will anyone in body-centered psychology say that there's something about the liver and the emotion, anger, that go hand in hand. And it's very important to understand that the liver is situated right underneath the diaphragm so that the midsection of your body, the midsection of your body is owned by the liver and the diaphragm. And that central tendon of the diaphragm is what breath is about because there is no breath if that central tendon pulled too tight. You cannot perfuse. The tone of that diaphragm, so let's talk about tone. If you get a set of drums or guitar strings, the tone is, are they too tight or are they too loose? You have to adjust them. Any musician will tell you the tone of the diaphragm in a drum is adjustable, and so is the tone of guitar strings. Musicians tone or tune up their instruments. So So it can't be too tight. It can't be too loose. A musician, to hit crescendo in a composition, has to depend upon the proper tone of the musical instrument and then his ability to manipulate it off the creative spiritual force of the person that creates the song. And it's the same thing in the tone of the central tendon of the diaphragm. That tone is created. And that tone is maintained through the study of breath. And I don't care where you get your study from. If it's properly done, as far as I'm concerned, whether it's Grafian, whether it's tantric, whether it's yogic, whether it's Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu, whether it's the Alexander technique, whether you're just learning opera or whether you're learning Lamaze, the tone of that central tendon has to be balanced in relationship to, well, if you don't have the right tone, you can't get your breath. If you can't get your breath, guess what? You cannot transmit the pump from the urogenital diaphragm to the brain. The craniosacral axis, it's rumored that there's a profession called osteopathic that still retains a faint memory, however faint, of the fact that they were founded by Andrew Still and Fulford on the notion that there was a flow from the cranium to the sacrum and from the sacrum to the cranium. And unknowingly, unwittingly, because in 1900 we had never heard of China and Southeast Asia and India. We didn't know them. We'd only conquered them. But we didn't understand their culture, really. And these people in America, Still and Fulford, who drove the osteopathy that, well, those osteopaths are the gatekeepers at Kaiser today. DOs, we call them. The root of their tradition honored this craniosacral flow that Asia had discovered and had written about prolifically and ingeniously from 25, 30, 40,000 years ago. Unless carbon dating is wrong. Which it can't be because it's science. Point is this, forget it all. Forget it all. Forget about Asia, forget about China, forget about India, forget about osteopathy, forget about it all. Squeeze your anus. Do that. Okay, first person to squeeze their anus and swear to me that if they squeeze their perineal muscles, they feel it in their brain. First person with the guts to say that they feel something up in their brain when they squeeze down low, a bottle of Carl, a bottle of aloe, and a bottle of vitamin D. First person. I'll just put you on the honor system. I'll know. Give me a few descriptive terminologies. Tell me what it feels like. Fill in the lines. I'll know. But I trust you. Somebody out there is having that experience. Somebody that never even heard of the urogenital diaphragm. It's just naturally having this experience. You've just spun the dice correctly. So you're sitting there like a ripe piece of fruit ready to fall off the tree and fertilize the world with your experience. Some of you will have this experience. So you'll know we're not making this up. Human organisms live this way. You ever watch a dog take a poop? No, I know. You watch dog owners out there with their dogs. Dog takes a poop. They look up in the air. But then again, you have to pick that poop up. Years ago, remember when we were little? No pooper scooper laws? You know what the New York streets looked like before you had to pick it up? No one picked it up. Picking up your dog's poop is a big deal. Remember when Gerald Ford, President Ford, had his dog poop in front of an audience, and he picked up his own dog's poop very, very gallantly. The President of the United States picking up his dog's poop. The nation fell in love with this man that day. He wasn't our greatest president, but he was a Yale graduate, a very bright man, and president. We fell in love with him. You ever watch a dog poop? When the dog poops, it arches its sacrum. It retains its flexibility in its sacrum so that it basically manipulates its sigmoid and rectal area to release that poop elegantly. Most dogs don't get hemorrhoids because most dogs don't go on toilet bowls. Toilet bowls create hemorrhoids. Nature supports the statement. Can you support the statement? Can you have that experience? How about the upper cervical area? How about all the devotion we've given to decompressing the upper cervicals, to stretching the scalenes, to opening the jaw, to fixing the teeth, to all these things we talk about on this show so that your cerebral diaphragm can maintain some integrity? Last but not least is your will. Your willpower. Your willpower is associated with the middle diaphragm. And that central tendon of that middle diaphragm is supposed to have the right tone. Lower diaphragm, middle diaphragm, upper diaphragm, magnetic field from the brain down to the crotch, up from the crotch or the perineum back up to the brain. It's determining whether or not adaptogen works in your body. Rhodiola, cordyceps, yeah, adrenovin. It's telling you if you're going to get the bang for your buck from your nutrition. Stay ahead of your friends. This isn't common radio talk. It's not even common knowledge, let alone hook it up into science. What do you think that pineal gland is sitting in between two large pillows, or breasts, if you will? The colliculus is. What do you think God put that thing there for? Just look at it. Understand the brain's vibrating. You think the brain is sitting in your skull, one static, immobilized piece of neural tissue? It's wobbling. It's got a frequency. It's generating a current. How much of that current? How much of that current has to depress? How much of that current cannot be infused from the perineum to the point or blocked in the diaphragm because you're willful, because you're angry, because you've been betrayed, because you feel like you've been betrayed, because you feel like the world has passed you by? And I'm not being tongue-in-cheek, because things are tough. People get bad news. You become a doctor because you want to help that, because you fight the fact that inexplicably bad things happen to people, like breast cancer at 39 years old or something, terminal breast cancer. So things do happen. But if, in fact, whatever's happened has happened sufficiently, you can't send that pump through the midsection of the body. That is why one must be prolific with breath. Open your breath. What does that mean? Go to my show, The Power of Breath. If this is your first time, or if you haven't been to the website, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. If this show's making sense and your head's on straight, 949-873-2127. If your head is on straight and you're spinning because you don't know enough, because you haven't gotten enough education and you need to be set into the right track, or however far you want to take it, 949-873-2127. So there's the tone of the central tendon of the diaphragm. The middle heater, as we say. Energetically, emotionally under control of your will. You ever meet people? You can't tell them a thing. Well, I told that guy Joe about the herbs. He said, go shove it. Told that guy Joe about the chiropractor. He said he doesn't believe in that garbage. Told that guy Joe that cigarette smoke is dangerous for your health. He said, that's not true. There's no medical study to support that. Told that guy Joe that hysterectomies, because women are bleeding out during midlife crisis, told him that that's unnecessary. He said, no, that's what my doctor said. Told that guy Joe that prefrontal lobotomies to fix schizophrenia don't work. He said, no, they gave Igor Muniz in 1949 the Nobel Prize for that. I support those prefrontal lobotomies. Told that guy Joe that men with big frontal lobes, big brows, are criminals. 1900, they wrote a book on it. Told that guy Joe that they shouldn't cut out the clitorises of American women in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, because they complain of headaches. Physician in Sexuality in Victorian America, J. Holler and Holler, 1982. Get the book. Told that guy Joe that. He said, no, there's no science behind that. My doctor told me that women should have their clitorises cut out for headaches. Who's Joe? Joe is your beast. Joe's the dummy inside all of us. Joe's one of the sheep. Joe's a clone. Joe is a poor, innocent guy that's going to get hurt. The great thing about America is most of those guys named Joe stayed in Europe. The people that told the kings and the religious institutions of Europe to take a hike came to America. And that's what we love about this country. Don't want to get political. But how can you not get political when you're talking about perspectives that we practice in everyday political life, in everyday society, that are very relevant to your choices with your health? So what do you want to do? Do you want to go to Whole Foods and ask your vitamin therapist which herb you should take for your symptom and not understand the dynamics of energetic flow from the sacrum through the diaphragm to the brain and into the cell? You be the judge of that. So there's that middle diaphragm again. We're back to it. The cerebral diaphragm. The perineal diaphragm. Pilates. Something as basic and superficial and relatively useless as Kegel. Something as powerful as yoga. Give you exercises in kung fu to throw a punch. And we all like to throw a punch. You got to be able to throw a punch. Not 10, just one. One punch, two people fall down. That's a good return on your investment. 20 punches, one person doesn't fall down. That's a bad return on your investment. If you want to throw a punch that has economy behind it, you have to build the muscles of the perineum. Kung Fu, Tai Chi, Yoga, Pilates, all understood it. Go for it. Go get it. Ladies, those episiotomies, those cesareans, you go get them fixed. Get on the website, my show that covered that. Breath, up in the middle diaphragm. Look, here's the bottom line. You're sick. You're chronically ill. You're spinning. You got attitude problems. It's human to have attitude problems. Attitude problems are about hanging on to people that have hurt you. Attitude problems are being certain God betrayed you. And far be it from me, there's no judgment here. I guarantee you, I see as much as you see. Most of you. 99.9 out of 10 of you. Unless you want to talk about patients that sit across your desk and tell you about infanticide and satanic rituals and all sorts of things that go on in people's lives that patients over the years will come to you for help with. So I think I've seen as much as a lot of people. But the point is, if you can, you gotta let it go. If you can. Because if you can't, the central tendon of your diaphragm will not let your electromagnetic flow hit your brain. Ta-da! There it is in a nutshell. Why you get hurt beyond what you get hurt when you can't let go. Okay, now I'm going to do something really crazy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you think he meant on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why do you think he put the ear back on the Roman guard that sliced his ear off? Excuse me, I didn't say that correctly. When the apostle cut the ear off of the Roman guard, why did Christ forgive that and put the ear back on that Roman guard? There's a wisdom to that. Forgiveness keeps the diaphragm patent. It keeps it flowing. Why are the teeth so important? Why is the alignment of the neck so important? Why is it detrimental, lethal even, to have anterior head carriage. Anterior head carriage. See my shows on snoring. My shows on the ear. The pictures of people as they age, their head comes forward and it locks the vault, the base of the skull. It locks it out of connection with the diaphragm and with the perineum. There are therapies abound to take care of these things. But you have to understand the essence of the therapy, and you have to understand we've reduced structural therapies to chiropractic adjustments and needles. Some of us are still scared of yoga because it's some occult nonsense, which it certainly isn't. We think martial arts is purely for fighting instead of developing the internal strength of the person. The concepts that bind all holistic medicine are given to you right now, today. Take that into yourself. Let it sink into your consciousness. Too profligate for you? No, just come on in. Take your herbal program. Don't worry, it'll all heal. Herbs work. Herbs will get you to first base. Herbs will take you to home plate if you respect the herb. If you respect the herb will show you its deeper chemical configurations. Take that one to the bank. 949-873-2127. If you're spinning and this makes any sense, you think you need help and you're open to being helped. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week. Ciao.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.